This is the UVic Military Oral History Program interview with James Vanio, V-A-N-Y-O, recorded on March 17, 2011, at his home in Saanich. Interviewed by Steve North, N-O-R-T-H. Do I have your permission to record this interview, Mr. Vanio?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I don't think... if you see something that's maybe not good, or they can sue you because you... Well, just knock it out.
All right. Okay. Sure. So, this is the second part two of the interview from the other day. We left at Caen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we left actually. We stayed in that. No. That day, we moved to what we called Hill 3. What they called Hill 3, and we watched the colonel lose his tank and the 2IC lose his tank down in the valley. And
2IC? What does that mean? You said the colonel and 2IC.
Well, the colonel lost his tank, got hit.
And is it the intelligence officer?
Pardon?
Was it the intelligence officer?
No, it was the colonel.
Colonel. I just want to clarify, you said the colonel and 2IC lost their tank.
Well, there was an IC.
What is an IC? I'm not familiar with that term.
Intelligence people.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so intelligence people. Now, we had a corporal, and we had a guy that was single, just an ordinary trooper. Yeah.
All right. Sorry to interrupt. Go on.
And anyway, I was going to say from that, from the day of the following day after the plane went by. Okay. They called us and they wanted more help in the way of looking, you know, being a regimental guy. What do you call them?
Reconnaissance?
No. Just to look after the radios or the radio. Someone in a tank. They were short of somebody, and
okay.
Radio operator.
Operator.
And okay. They called me, and they took me down, and I became a radio operator.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, I was radio operator
right. All
the way through.
Right.
Yeah. I took tanks out occasionally when, as a crewman, when. We had to get help in transmissions and get more distance because they were further away and all that.
So did you and your tank personally get involved in combat?
Well, a couple times we had a go, but most of the time I was busy on the radios were going all the time and people getting injured and all that.
Right.
We had all the injuries came in at the end of the day. The injuries and the deaths, you know, how many died and all that. And then I'd put it down and I'd send it in.
Right. So you received all the... the battle reports.
Yeah,
and
that,
then
that's
did
right.
Reports. You did all paperwork
made a report
and sent it in.
And then sent it in to Echelon. I guess it's a rear Echelon,
right.
They called it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you must have had quite a good idea what was going on different fronts as the Allies advanced into France.
Yeah, that's right.
What was your overall picture? Were you doing well? Were you doing poorly?
I thought they were doing good.
You know, you're doing good.
It wasn't me.
No? No. All right.
Yeah, but we had little get-togethers, but usually we had lots of help anyway.
Little get-togethers? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean we knew where they were, and they could shoot at them, and they'd shoot at us, and mm-hmm. then bang, and somebody right. would hit something.
Ever since the Messerschmitt came over and waved at you, were you close to being hurt any time then? Were shells coming in?
Oh no, there was no shells. No.
No.
No. No.
Not for you.
No, not for me. No.
Right. Did you know what kind of forces you were facing?
Germans, yeah.
Other than Germans?
No, just German as far as I know.
Did you know if there was infantry or artillery or armor or the kind of the makeup or...
Yeah, they'd be shooting at each other once in a while, tank to tank, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what kind of tanks they had?
Pardon?
Do you know what kind of tanks they had?
Oh, yeah, always Sherman.
Well, that's what you had. What did the Germans have?
Yeah, we had a Sherman.
What did the Germans have?
Oh, they had... I can't remember the names of those things.
You may know them now, but do you remember as a trooper and facing them, did you know what kind of arms the Germans had? Like, could you say, look across the field and go, oh, that's a Panzer.
Panzers coming. Yeah, we always knew that.
You always knew that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. They knew where... Well, there was people out there all the time, too. Forward observation officers and mm-hmm. that. And the planes would fly over, and you'd get information from them, talk to the pilot once.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What did you talk to him about?
We were talking about the Germans coming in with those big tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they did after that.
Right.
I was told to don't go ahead and send them, let them know, and they were flying above us, you know.
Right.
Waves is a plane, meaning he was he got it. But that was the only time I was ever called on to do that. Okay. Most of that kind of information went back to headquarters, and then they'd send a message, and then they'd take it from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about Carpique?
I want to say from that morning after, and then we went to, or I was taken to the, with the truck behind, the truck that we rode in, you know, when we got off the boat.
The ammunition truck.
The ammunition truck, yeah. And food. Mm-hmm. There was food in there. And then, anyway, we only slept there that afternoon, I think. We went to they took us to where the regimental headquarters was, you know.
Right.
Yeah, up on the knoll, and the old colonel was going down below, and he got banged, and mm-hmm. the other guy got banged. And they had to all crawl back, as I told you before.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And that was pretty well the end of that, and then I just simply stayed with the tank and answered messages and sent messages and all that stuff. Yeah.
So, can you describe the fighting around Carpique Airfield? Were you aware of what was going on?
No, we were. We went. What we did was we had to get rid of the Germans off the airport there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, what was the name of that darned airport?
Was that not Carpiquet?
We didn't pronounce it that way, but I'm sure it was the same one.
Okay.
Oya is a big, long, quite a very long, long, what's it called?
Airfield. Airstrip.
Airfield, yeah. Quite mm-hmm. long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could see the Germans sometimes there, that, you know, they'd be driving or something, and you could tell that it's German.
Right, yeah. yeah. Right.
And then after we started trying to take Conn,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's the Conn or Conn Airport is what we called it anyway. Yeah, right. the fight there started
mm-hmm.
to get the Germans because they were in Conn and we had to get them out. And there was a bit, there was a small river going through there too, and people were a little leery about getting stuck, you know.
Yeah, tanks aren't so good at crossing rivers.
That's right. You got to be careful.
Yeah, you need the bridges, right?
Sure.
So did you know when you were going through that area that you were facing the 12th SS Panzer Division? You knew?
Yeah. Okay. We went up on the side of that hill you refer to, mm-hmm. what's it called?
Etterville Ridge?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We spent possibly, maybe 4 or 5. Oh, I would say we spent about, gosh, what was it? Were you ever there?
No.
Yeah, you should. They got, that's where the city of Conn got all the material in the form of what's it called, wood, or not wood. They carved it out of rock down below.
The tunnels.
Huh?
Tunnels.
There was, matter of fact, there was a tunnel to right where we settled. It must have been about 2 weeks or a week or something like that. I don't know it was a little while. And then from there, we started up one night up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then into the battle.
Into the battle. Yeah. What was it like traveling at night?
That didn't matter to me.
No?
No, not a bit. I slept.
You slept? There was no need for you then?
somebody else was. Well, the driver. I told you his name. He was lived up in Yubo here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up here and as a, he could do all kinds of work in the mills
right.
and that, yeah, yeah.
So the tunnels, you mentioned the tunnels, did you just stay in the tunnels? What were they used for?
Oh, no, we didn't go very far in the tunnel. As a matter of fact, it was down, when you went down, that would be about, I don't know how many feet, about as high as from the floor up to the light
mm-hmm.
in that room.
Right.
And I went down.
All right.
We went down. There was no way of going up and down, so we went down on ropes.
Right.
A steel things.
Cable. Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of steel, because, they cut your hands up.
Mm-hmm.
We went down. And then we start walking around, and the civilians had left all their stuff in there, and they disappeared.
Right.
For safety, you know.
So was it like a bomb shelter? Is that what it was?
Well, it wasn't. It was like a big hole in the ground,
mm-hmm.
and you're in it, and they had, things that were suitable to sleep on, and they had clothes, plus they had things like hay and things like that in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it concrete or was it carved out of rock?
It was all carved out.
Okay.
The hole in the bottom was carved out.
Mm-hmm.
Beside it, or on the other side of the road, there's a church there.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, when we were over there, I was looking for it, and I couldn't find the church for sure, but that's where it was. We went to the door, and we kicked the door in.
Oh.
Talk about
it. Of the church?
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Mean as can be. You know, you just felt like it.
Really?
I didn't take anything, but one of the guys pulled a little box off a wall, and there was a few dollars in it.
Right. The poor box.
Yeah, a few dollars in it. And for that, he tore it off.
Stole the poor box,
yeah,
did he?
Yeah, people, he was, get all riled up sometimes. You know.
Yeah.
And there was only two of us at the start, and the two of us were firing our pistols at bottles of liquor that they had down there.
Down in the tunnel?
They had liquor in the tunnel.
You just thought you'd do some target practice?
Oh, yeah, we were shooting at that. Yeah. Good targets.
Sounds like a bunch of cowboys out there.
Yeah, and they had to pull us up on a rope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pull us up. It's quite if you fall, you've had the biscuit. Yeah.
So did you actually go into Khan?
Pardon?
Did you go into Khan when the Germans left?
No. We came as far as Khan, then where Khan started, and they had to fight your way down, and the Germans were running on the other side.
Right.
You could see them.
I brought a map.
Yeah.
And I think it'll cover. Well, somewhat anyway. So here's all the landings. Here's Juneau, right here.
Okay.
So you landed here, came down here, towards Khan.
Well, yeah. Right.
But you went east of Khan, I believe, down towards Falaise, which is down there.
Yeah, Falaise, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, approximately there. I spent a whole night. The first night when I got close to the tank,
right.
I they had an extra guy in there. They wanted him out, and they took him out of the next morning.
In the tank?
From the tank, yeah. And they put me in there.
Oh, yes.
And I ended up walking on some dead guy. I don't know if he was Canadian or what. It was pitch dark, you know.
Mm-hmm. Point, yeah. Where was this?
Well,
this was after Khan fell.
No, this is going towards Khan.
Okay.
Yeah, going towards.
Right.
Or wait a minute. Going towards Khan. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
And you got out of your tank at night?
No, I stayed out. I was on the ground walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was in the tank, the operator, who was operating the tank, he was looking after it that night. And then next morning they took him somewhere else, and told me to be there looking after it.
They showed me how to do it. We had
training and mm-hmm. In a camp.
But there was a dead guy that you stepped on when you were walking around?
Pardon?
You stepped on a dead soldier when you were walking around that night?
Yeah.
That must have been unpleasant.
It was, he went to pieces, you know. It was all grease.
He was all grease. Somebody had, did someone drive over him in a tank?
I don't think so. I think he was too firm.
Okay. So a bullet or a shell or a mine.
Something like that. Someone got him.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know who it was.
That's got to be horrible. One of the horrible things.
Well,
I think it was at night.
I didn't think too much of it. And then when it started getting late in the morning and I was up, we had to stand too, at sunrise every morning in case they'd taken a notion to attack.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I got up fairly early and I put my shoe down the ground and I gave them a good, got it all off anyway.
Right.
There wasn't much there.
No. I recall reading that in that example where you're walking around the tank, there was a point at which Germans would take pot shots at tanks, and everybody had to be ready to move or fight back. It wasn't a very restful time when you stopped at night.
Oh well, I didn't do much at night. It was dark. You couldn't see much.
No.
No, I mean, I couldn't see a dead guy, so...
No.
You know.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And then, anyway, I did that, and then, let's see, from there... there was Hill 30, and then another hill that we were on, and... They knew we were there, and they were going to give us a big, we figured, or the colonel figured, they were going to give us a big barrel fire at us.
You're going to fire a lot of firepower at your direction.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we moved over to another knoll, and we stayed there. And we moved a few times around here, around there. And then from then on, we went, that's when we got to the airport, one end of the airport. That was pretty hot going because we were wide open and they had the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of those little, these little crackers,
I don't know. Morse code?
That wasn't a code.
What's a cracker?
It was just a cracker, yeah. And they push it down, it cracks, or leave it go, it cracks. And then it helped you, if it was safe enough, that you use it to let them know. Say two cracks or three cracks, they'd have a certain number, certain way of having a signal, you see. And so when you crawled through, the infantry knew you were you, not a German coming.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like we had them in.
They're little clicking signaling devices.
Yeah.
Right. And
I threw it away there. I got mad one day and I just threw the damn thing in the bush. I was talking to my wife the other day. I wonder if I could find it.
Oh, it's here somewhere.
No, not here.
Oh, there.
Yeah. But anyway, I doubt it. And when we went through on our trip, we went through that area. That was all quite flat and open. Mm-hmm. The dispatch writer, he'd have a hard time trying to get the message. I don't know why they would use, I never questioned them. I wondered, I could have found out if I really wanted, why use why not use the radio instead of using riding on
a bicycle or a bicycle. Motorcycle?
Yeah.
So they had foot messenger, like bicycle messengers,
instead
of the radio.
Yeah, there was a few of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess they'd come across the field like you wouldn't believe. World War. One day the colonel told us what the message was. The message was, don't raise any dust. Because when a guy come in with a motorbike, he made a turn, and then we were on the field, and it was a soft field, and raised a pile of dust, and the Germans started firing again.
I recall that that is actually in this book too, in the Vanguard book. Yeah. That you were put aside for some training, and they did movements around at which the Germans started firing at, so they canceled the training exercises because they would target not the tanks, but they would find the dust. And they would target the dust, so all that was cancelled.
Yeah. After that, they didn't use them too much.
No.
I know. I remember when they got balled out, coming too fast, and I says, well, I wouldn't be here with the message if I didn't, you know, and
right.
Colonel didn't like that.
No. So what did you make of the orders to turn north? Perhaps you'd just like to continue
We went through. The infantry was in front of us. They were shooting. The other side, the guys, you could see the Germans getting their stuff together, you know, and running up over the knoll. And they were clearing out. And but there were still quite a few left in Caen. And we went down, you know, got pretty close. There's a little river that runs through there too. And we got pretty close. And then they were all cleared out. Or when they were gone, then we occupied that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were, like I say, we were there for quite a while before they started the going over that knoll, that hill.
Right.
Yeah, to that nighttime fight we had. Yeah. It was interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but you know, when you're there, you're excited and you think it's all right. But we finally left it, you know, and then when we came back on holidays, a few years back here, but it must be 10 years ago, I couldn't recognize anything, you know, and I couldn't find that church. I thought I'd find it, you know.
Yeah.
We knew where the railway line was, but, you know, where it went through Caen, down, and there's a curve and comes back up. And anyway, we went, there was a road along, a narrow road alongside, anyway, big enough for a time. We went down and made the turn and we stopped and we stayed. We were there for 2 or 3 days. One night, they came over and started bombing, and they let a bomb loose. Came right down beside the tank in the old tanker, jumped up and up. No, that's heavy, you know. But in the morning, I never had a chance to. I woke up and we were already on the move. You know, and someone. I was still looking after it. If a message came, I still looked after it.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of slept as much as I could. There we moved on over and up on another knoll, and kind of, I'm not too sure just where we went to, because you're going along and maybe going for maybe know, 5-6 miles or something like that on in the tank. You don't know where you're going. Oh, we did a lot of driving, you know. We'd be right behind the other guy, you know, and behind that guy, you know, and when you stop and you get out and your face is all nothing but dust. And we had, what you call it, a face mask, too, and, you know, you can see through. Pretty dusty sometimes. But it was okay. We didn't care. If we stopped somewhere and didn't stop for very long, keep going. What do we stop for, you know, stuff like that.
Did you ever have any problem with supplies? Like getting
never.
Fuel?
No.
How was that lost?
Like I said, they come in every 3 days. Every 3 days. Oh, I was going to say at Carpiquet. Well, I was using the word carp, not carpet, but I was using the word
con.
At the far end or our end of the that when we hadn't taken it yet, I slept there one night, and it was my turn to be on wireless. It was midnight, I got on, and then I put a big long, they had these long, kind of a rope thing. And anyway, hang it onto the thing and onto the radio. And they had a way of making a connection so that, you know, you could walk up and down, but with wasn't a rope, but
it was a wire.
Wire that was made. Yeah. And I put it on, and I walked up and down. It was dark, it was just after midnight, I was tired. Next morning I wake up, it's dawn.
So they used.
Yeah, I slept in my sleep that night.
Yeah, you watched.
Genuinely slept in. I didn't think a guy could do it, but.
You walked in your sleep.
I walked in my sleep. Back and forth. Yeah. I only had so much length, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You're just and if you weren't there when the brigade calls,
right?
They didn't like that at all.
No,
you have to be there.
Yeah,
you know, it's stuck.
Yeah,
I bawled that officer over there was telling you about.
That's right.
Yeah,
that was a lieutenant. Yeah. So, did you want to add more to that or?
Not to that. I want to say that though that night and the next toward morning, where as soon as sun started coming up, a German tank went by us, and he never stopped or anything, and he went right by us, and then he turned around, realized where he was, turned around, and. I was told he went back. He realized where he was. Yeah.
So you're all sitting there, and a German tank comes by, doesn't get shot at, realizes where he is, turns around, goes back.
Yeah, and then
and you just let him go.
Yeah, you let him go.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, little things like that do happen, yeah.
They kind of stick out in your mind,
yeah.
Strange things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, actually, like I told you, they were, part of our job was to clean up the germs from the beaches and the villages and towns close to the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you left France, and you started going north, right?
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah. We got closer to the water there. See, we, it doesn't show much on here, but here we're up.
Okay, well, here you go. Here's another map.
Okay.
And there's Caen there.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so you, there's Cuirars in the Canadian 2nd Division right there.
Okay.
And you're moving up. There's, you
visit
Dieppe.
We went this way.
Oh, you didn't go up here. This is Belgium and Holland?
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, then we did. Yeah, we can put it down any way we want.
You didn't go that? Did you go south?
Pardon?
Did you go south?
No.
No,
you, no, no, we didn't. No,
right.
No, no, you're right. We,
yeah, from Falaise in Paris, and you go north.
Yeah.
You didn't go to Paris, though, did you? That was someone else.
Where?
Did you go to Paris?
Paris?
Paris.
Well, no.
No, that was someone else. So it was your job to clean out all these, the beaches and all these seaside towns,
no,
right?
We were given the job of trying to clean them out, and we cleaned them out, and there was, I seen them on TV, and there was, I didn't, sometimes I, but, we were on the very edge of, what was that place where the Canadians got such a beat?
Dieppe.
Dieppe, yeah. We were right on the edge of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, but we didn't go into the town.
No.
And there was another one I remember.
Someone else went into the town and took over the town?
We just left. Oh. I don't know, I guess there was someone else coming.
Okay, but you were involved in Boulogne.
Boulogne?
Yeah. Boulogne. It's right after Dieppe.
Yeah, I guess we were, yeah.
Do you remember that? Because it was.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Seem to remember something there. Yeah. Oh yeah, Great Britain's on this side. I always think it's on this side when I look at maps.
So in Boulogne, just before the Four Garrys attacked Boulogne, apparently they captured in the area of 600 German prisoners of war.
Oh yeah, that could have been, sure.
Do you remember any of that?
No. The history book here. Where's the rest of the picture here?
Here we go. I think I can help you out. Here's a map of the assault on.
Yeah, well, this is the one I.
Yes. Yeah. That is a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, we were located here, and this is getting ready to go to hit Falaise, you know, take Falaise. And anyway, we're back here among the rear end.
Right.
And these guys are all lined up. They were all. It looks different in the picture.
Does it? How so?
Yeah.
This looks very peaceful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a little gully comes down. There's actually a little gully here. Yeah. And when we got there, then infantry got a hold of Germans, you know, and there must have been, could have been maybe 25, 30 Germans in them. And the old sergeant major was yelling his head off at them, you know, trying to scare them. You know, they weren't scared neither. You know, they're willing to die, the German. But anyway, that was just up, just about here. And then there's we came in this way. Yeah,
right.
And then we all.
Would you say the Germans are tough soldiers?
Oh yeah, damn right they're tough.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're tough. And they were, trained pretty good. The Canadians had just kept going at that. The Germans complained that, oh, they just keep coming. How can we stop them?
That's what the Germans said?
Well, that's what I understand. That's the way they talk. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Canadians did a tremendous job. Yeah. It was really something.
Who was the better soldier, the Canadians or Germans?
Oh, I say we're as good as them, if not better. And we weren't trained the way they were. The things, there's a lot of stuff they did we never. Never thought anything of plugging one.
No, it was just.
Oh no, it's either you or him, so it's got to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
So, if I may, here's Balone. It's not a great picture, but it says Battle Headquarters for the Fort Garry Horse way back here, so I'm guessing that's where you would be. But the Fort Garry's, they captured 600 Germans just north of Balone here.
Oh, yeah.
And that would
You know, I don't remember too much of this one.
That's the middle of September in 1944.
Middle of September, I just don't recall that too well. We're on a knoll there. I seen a picture one time. It was a darn good one. Oh, here, I want to show you this too. We were going into Holland and onto the peninsula here.
All right. So, why don't we take some time and start talking about going into Holland then?
Into what?
Into Holland. So you're on this peninsula here and...
Yeah, I forgot. I'd forgotten about this being here. Now, this tank here...
So we're looking at a picture in the Vanguard book, The History of the Fort Garry Horse. Advance across Zweed Beveland... First Tank Sergeant Eno and Corporal Weeks.
Yep.
Second
yep.
Tank Captain J.G. Robson in tank suit. And we have a row of tanks going across a muddy...
That's right. And we were waiting. We were stopped here. And it starts... The whole regiment was all... came in here. And, mud was something... There was a big high... what's it called here?
A dike?
Dike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it went on, and we were waiting for our turn to get in onto the thing so we could go on to ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was quite good. And this, I think, I could be in the rear end of this tank or this tank. I know I was number one, then I was number two, our tank.
Right.
No, but I wasn't driving there.
No.
We're just following.
But your tank is one of these pictures? One of these in this picture?
Yeah, I think so. It's either this one or one of these.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. And what, was there much resistance in these areas here?
No, not there. There was, for us, there was very little resistance, but the infantry really got it. You know, you get if you're up to your water, say up to here, up to there,
up to your waist.
Yeah, and you're in the water, and you get hit. You've had the biscuit because you probably can't get up. Mm. And then they drown, you know.
But
I remember a guy that I saw shingles with in Fanny Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was over there, and he was always just shaking like that. And he said, "Boy, that's tough." He said, "That's really hard." And they walked across. Some of them walked in, you know, from went around the back and come up and walked in on the Germans. And I watched some of the films I've seen. Germans getting chased out of there or become enemies.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, these are infantry guys.
Yeah.
They're your friend that you worked with in Bandy Bay was an infantry guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the infantry's role with the tanks? Like, how are the infantry and the armor related? Were they important to armor?
Oh, absolutely.
How so?
The infantry took shots and, they're missing shots. It's not easy all the time to just pick up a rifle and start, shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you got to see the enemy and he sees you, not easy.
No.
Yeah, but in the tank you got a safety factor there that protects you all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So did the infantry help the tanks out?
Well, the infantry, they'd clean up, did the jobs to clean up, there'd be guys, there'd be civilians or Germans walking around or something.
Mm-hmm.
They could stop them and
right.
take them prisoner.
Right.
Yeah, you can't do that in a tank. You can't take prisoners. You either got to kill them or let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he gets you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Now that's the. The infantry sometimes we got told to leave because we were too noisy. Tank makes a noise, and if it starts going, it turns up soil and there's dust and things like that. Well, on occasion, we were told a couple times. I remember distinctly being told to get out of here because you're. And the enemy sure as hell firing shots in their infantry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you recall time spent in Groningen?
Pardon?
Do you remember Groningen at all?
I know the name, but I'm just not. I haven't got it quite set in my mind.
All right. Well, that's all right.
Groningen.
Yes,
Isn't that northern Holland?
It is, yes.
Groningen.
It's where you stop just before you went into Germany.
Yeah.
So just before you go into Oldenburg, and that's
what
you mentioned earlier.
I had a week's leave, go to, we were on, in close to Nijmegen.
Mm-hmm.
We were close to Nijmegen and that little town. And we were there for quite a while. And actually, I went to England and I came back and the sergeant, he looked after the us guys and wireless. And he says, if you want to be a commander, you can be a commander now. You've got a chance. Colonel says, if you want to go, you can go. Or you can stay. And I thought about it, and I thought, the hell with that. I'm going to stay where I am. And I did.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise, you get your, you're in a tank. You've got your head sticking up most of the time. Or partly sticking up.
Yeah.
And they're shooting at you, and say you're going through a small or through a village and there's enemy on each side in the houses are shooting at you and things like that. They want to nail you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't intend to get nailed.
You like being inside the armor.
inside
the steel.
I like the armor, you're damn right. Yeah. Lots of guys got, a lot of our people that they're in the book, the number of killed and all.
Yes.
That. Yeah.
There. Now, that story gives me two questions. You had a week's leave, and you went to England.
Yeah.
And what did you do for fun? What did you do?
In England, not much fun.
Not much fun in England?
No, there was not much fun. I never did. I kind of like going into, we went up to Edinburgh a couple of times, and the people there, the women didn't smoke as heavily. A lot of them never smoked at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice inside, you know, some pub or something.
Right.
And my friend and I used to go to, called it Cotton, I just can't get the word out. Maybe it'll come.
Maybe.
A little bit later, where we used to go out, it's on the coast to the edge of the city. It's out quite a ways. You have to catch on.
From Edinburgh or London?
In England.
In England?
Yeah, yeah.
Camden?
I don't recall with any.
Okay. Well, when you got back, you...
Common. Yeah, okay, go ahead. I just can't hit it.
It'll probably come in about a few minutes after I leave.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So when you returned, the colonel said, you can be a commander,
yeah.
But you prefer to stay in the armor, right? You can be a commander, or you could continue on as you are now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, and you didn't want to be a commander, because you liked the position you were in.
Yeah, but there was another thing that wasn't quite. Mm. I don't know if I could have done it. When I went to the Fort Garry, hey kid, what are you doing here now? You should be at home and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
I was to run and get this guy, you know. That's why I missed the Queen that time on account of that, or the King. Yeah, he was going around and I worked in the tank cleaning it up and things.
Right.
And anyway, I was also, well, the guys were such, I thought I was going to have a shootout with a guy one day when we were in Carp Cape.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, on the upper side, and he called me a zombie. What? You call me a zombie? You're more of a zombie than I am. You know, you were called in, I wasn't. He just about went through, and the guys were hanging on to him. Of course, he's drunk.
Huh.
Yeah. So how about a little you and me going up on the hill here and we'll have a little shootout? If you believe I actually stayed awake all night long waiting for him.
Really?
Never came.
No.
But the guys used to say, bugger off you, because kids like you, and, you know, I had that behind me.
Right.
Yeah, and the guys, the older guys didn't like a new guy coming in and telling them what to do when
right.
They've been over there a while. I forget how many, it's 2-3 years. And they didn't want to take orders from an ordinary.
No. I mean, you weren't a superior rank, but you were passing on orders from superior ranks, right?
Doing what?
You weren't a higher rank than them, were you?
No.
No, but you were passing on orders from higher ranks.
That's
and they didn't want to listen to that.
Yeah, they didn't want to hear that.
No, because you were really young when you were over there.
Yeah, and they were older.
Right.
Yeah, and that was a problem for me, so I never decide how long I'm going.
So one of these older guys, just to get some clarification, one of these older gentlemen called you a zombie.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't like that.
No.
Now, does zombie have the same meaning then as it does today?
No, whether I never hear it being used today.
Today, a zombie is kind of an undead, shambling creature.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We used to use it all the time.
That was a common term of insult?
Oh, yeah.
A zombie?
But the guys didn't fight amongst themselves that much.
No.
But they didn't. But if a guy's been boozing, and that's what...
Yeah.
We were just north on the edge of, what you call it?
Yeah.
the city.
Right.
Caen. And in fact, the French, they said, went in with an empty barrel on some vehicle of some kind, and they filled it up with moonshine.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They stole it all.
Did you get some?
No.
No, I didn't.
I didn't even know it was happening.
No.
No, that was just word of mouth.
You young innocent fella, you. Mm-hmm. So you managed to avoid a duel, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's like.
Well, the guy never showed when it was time to go and eat.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Right. Oh well. Okay. So in your tank that you felt very safe in.
Oh yeah.
Did Shermans have any sort of reputation about their toughness? Or I heard they went up like a. They were described one time as going up like a Zippo, like a lighter, when facing a Panzer. Like maybe their armor wasn't as good as, and they tended to burn very easily, or they.
Well, their shots were very heavy, big.
The Panzer shots were very heavy.
Yeah, if you want to get them, you had to go around the side, hit them on the side,
mm-hmm.
and. Not too low, you know. You just fire maybe 4 feet, 3 feet above, and then you can get them in the side.
Right.
And that's weak material in there.
In the sides.
Yeah, or the back.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Shermans, were they particularly weak on any?
Oh yeah.
Or strong in any other ways?
Not particularly. They were fast. They could travel fast. They could.
Mm-hmm.
You could swing off and go off into the bush there somewhere.
So they're fast and they're maneuverable.
Yeah, and they'd have a tough time. They'd have to be accurate to hit them.
Okay. I think. Right, that's fine. The back to the Shermans. Have you ever heard of them being called? They would go up like a Zippo lighter, or go up like a lighter.
A Sherman?
Yeah.
I can't remember a Sherman getting hit
being described like that. Do you remember the other sort of variations of Sherman tanks, or the other variations of tanks? Because there was one called a Crocodile.
Well, they were used for different things, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was three or four different things.
There was the flamethrower one?
The flamethrower, the one that rolled in front of the tank.
The flail?
The flail.
That was the anti-mine one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that was good.
That was good? That was
yeah.
That worked really well?
Oh, yeah. And they had the... sometimes before they start using the flail thing, they would guys would go in and they'd had their the gadget there to find mines.
Metal detectors?
Yeah, metal detectors, Then they put sticks in the ground, you know, and things like that. And you're in between and follow along.
Right.
That was pretty safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're open to the enemy if they're not careful.
Dangerous. Everything's dangerous.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, tell you what, Jim, well, why don't we sort of wrap this up? Do you recall where you... last time we left, on Wednesday, you were going to try and remember where you were when you heard the stand fast order.
The
stand fast order to say the war was over.
Oh.
Did you...
Oh, when the war was over.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you recall where you were?
Oh, yeah. Not Oldenburg. Irene, I think she'll tell me.
Oh, well, maybe we'll add that information in later.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's okay.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to add? Anything else? You've covered a lot of information. I really appreciate that you've spent this much time with me.
You're welcome. I always thought even the officers, I've seen one officer taken in, a wounded officer taken in once, and they were quite worried about him. The way they went, and the guys got a little angry because there was another guy injured, and forget just where and how, but they left him for later, and I think they did a good job. You know, there was, all in all, things were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than, I wasn't afraid of any of the officers. I had a bullseye I could hit. When I joined the peacetime, I don't know if you got time.
Sure.
We went to, I was in the peacetime, I mean, went to south of...
Well, tell you what, I'll just stop this recording here, and then we'll start a new one for your peacetime.
Yeah.
This concludes the Military Oral History Program interview with James Vanio on March 17th, 2011. Uh-huh. I want to thank you very much, Jim, for your time. All the information you gave me is very valuable. Before I go, would you mind taking a moment to sign this form? It's just right there.
Just put my name right there.
Right there.
Yeah, okay. I'll just turn that around just a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I went wrong on that.
That's okay. You can keep going.
It's VA, isn't it?
Yes.
I was going to put J.
J. Yeah, that's right. Just put Vanio there. VANIO. Perfect. So we've both signed the release form, is that correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you again.